This is the moment many wait for.
The most entertaining.
A man of wisdom. A man of experience, Dave.
The most informative.
To bring light to a dark subject. To bring positivity to a negative world.
The incredible Paul Moyer.
It is that time, everybody. You look forward to it every single week. You bring in a man of wisdom, a man who can just set the record straight, by God. He's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. The one, the only, Paul Moyer is with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. And you got to change the music on me each week, right?
I don't think so. I think it's attached to
it. Oh, just part of it?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever you want, Paul. I mean, we can change it. We can do whatever.
Hard rock, you know. I always wanted, you know. Nowadays, they have theme songs for baseball players when they walk on deck. Yeah. You know, football. I always wanted to do one of those when you come out of the tunnel and they're introducing you. And I always wanted the Tina Turner "Simply the Best" song. I mean, who doesn't like that song and fire you up for it? It'd be perfect. So. I'm not
how
telling
humble
you guys
he wants to come out to "Simply the Best."
If you don't think it, you know, you're probably not.
Mine would have been "The Joker."
Oh, by Steve Miller.
Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's not.
Fits
Joker.
Fits you perfect.
Yeah, that fits you, and "Simply the Best" fits Paul. That's
absolutely
perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, by the way, I was telling Bob the story that you said, you know, what's the big deal with the green dot? And I said, yeah, that's because I would have had it on the field and Paul wouldn't have. And that would have been a problem.
Well, it would have been different, Dave, because back in the day when we played, you called, or the middle linebacker called, the mixed downs. And then one of the safeties would, when we brought the nickel group in, was the guy making the call. So today you wouldn't do that. Right? Yeah. You would keep one guy doing the whole thing, have to keep him on the field. That gets a little tricky. But,
well, if I was faster, Paul, I would have been on the field for nickel for at least 2 or 3 years. I think I was only one. Anyways.
If you were smarter and better looking, you would be the president of the United States. So there you go.
I'd be the... Never mind. Okay. Let's get started.
Paul, what is your reaction to the arrival of Bobby Wagner? 1 year, $7 million deal.
By the way, have they broke out the exact contract on that, what's guaranteed and all that? I haven't seen
the particulars of it. I've just seen the 1 year, $7 million number.
Well, look, we certainly need linebackers. You know, we're pretty scarce there in that group right now, and it's particularly in the middle linebacker part. And even with Bush signing, we don't know what's going to happen with Jordan Brooks as far as being ready for the season. I think it's good. I mean, I've said for like Bobby's a good player. I don't know if he's a great player anymore. I would say he's not, but I think he has the ability to be really good in key situations. And those are the kind of conversations I'm curious to see what they had with them. I mean, do I think Bobby should be on the field every snap? No, I think at his age and just watching some of the skill level he has now, that I think you got to put him in the right spots and he can be successful, and he's a smart guy and he has all the ability. He's still strong. He can still run. You know, my whole thing was I'd like to see a linebacker's a little bit more downhill. But again, you're going to have some athletes there, man. You're going to have Bush. You're going to have Wagner. You're going to have Brooks. You've got, you know, Taylor. I mean, we're going to have some guys who can run and get after it. And so I think just the competition to push each one of them. So in practice and on game day, when you see the film, that, hey, best man up is going to play, and I think this will be healthy for him.
Yeah, you know, Paul, I mentioned something you said to me about Sean Alexander many, many years ago, and that was about, you know, you said something about, you know, don't hate him for what he's not or something like that. But like, you know, Sean Alexander, he wasn't going to run somebody over on the sidelines. He was going to step out of bounds, and he was going to try to not take a hit. And I feel like Bobby's kind of in that. I mean, look, he'll still hit you. But I think, you know, as far as, like you said, downhill, taking on blocks, that's not what he's here for. And I feel like, you know, the way he played, I feel like if he plays like he did last year and, you know, isn't asked to do that. Like, you're not going to have him out there on third down or, you know, fourth down or goal line, you know, situations where it's like, you know, they've got heavy personnel. If you can do that, you can blitz him. I feel like he's the best second-level blitzing linebacker, one of the best. And, you know, just use him the right way. I feel like $7 million doesn't seem like a whole lot of money.
Well, it seems like a lot to me, Dave. But
a lot of
zeros in there. But I, you know, just thinking about Bobby last year. And the one thing I thought the Rams did do well is they put him in some situation that used his strengths. Mm-hmm. You know, and we said this forever. I mean, he is still to this day really hard guy to block for a center. If you're blitzing up the middle, he's got a fantastic swim move. He's really strong. He's still fast. I mean, there's things there from that level that's pretty amazing. But look, I've seen him make great plays. What I've seen him do now, though, is he's taken plays off, and that's my issue. I don't know if you can bring in a guy to be the leader if you're not going to play every play like it's your last down. And I think they're going to have enough depth and youth in there. It's going to force them. And also say, hey, there's no reason for you to take a play off because we're going to rotate guys and keep them fresh. I know one thing, though. If you have him and you do a blitz package with him and you put him in the right spots, Bobby can still be really productive. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. We've got a lot of good football players now. And, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, I couldn't say that.
How does he fit when you've got Devin Bush and when Jordan Brooks comes back healthy, whenever that is? We don't know. But how do you think that they sort that out?
Well, I think the one thing about all three of those linebackers is they can play multiple type of positions at linebacker. I mean, I think you could slide them outside and come off the edge. I think you could have someone in sitting on the nose where they've got to honor that guy, because I think all three of them could actually get after the quarterback as well. So I think part of them is just fitting out what the packages are. If you're going to play a base 3-4, truly, and I got two inside linebackers with those three guys, you know, they're going to have to sort that out, and it's competition. But I really think, because all three of them are good football players, man, you could rotate some people around. You could have a defense, Bob. I'm totally guessing on this, but you could have a defense where you didn't have a guy with his hand down. You know, I mean, I look at Jones, who's at times he's up, he's outside, he's inside, he's in a 3-point. He can do a lot of things there. You could have Bobby, Brooks, Bush, Jones. I mean, Nwosu. It gives you a lot of options there. And so you won't know if you didn't know the numbers, but you just looked at what the formation was defensively. I think you'd have a big guessing game for offenses.
Well, here's one, Paul. Speaking of, you know, totally guessing, I just kind of threw this out there that maybe that paves the way for actually drafting Jalen Carter. You know, and look, I don't know how bad it is with him. I did watch, you know, some of his stuff, some of his snap counts. It looks like he's not in great shape, but I can't think of a better defensive leader to kind of, you know, instruct and sort of guide a rookie with a ton of talent like Jalen Carter has, you know, and maybe he would listen to Bobby. Maybe that gives them a little bit more flexibility to draft him. But like I said, total guess. Yeah.
No, I think you're right, Dave. And I think, look, if you were to say, Paul, what are you really betting on? And I can't fudge it and I can't talk my way through it. I got to make a decision. I think the way the draft is laying out, I think they do take Carter. And now they're going to have to be really comfortable with him and his work ethic, and they'll do all those interviews. But if you want a guy who can really dominate a game on film, from what I've seen, Carter's that guy. So I think that's the way it's going to play out. And I think you're right, Dave. I mean, look, Bobby's a smart guy. The one thing you're never going to question is his work ethic. He'll be the first one there. Yep. He's going to be the last one to lead. He's going to teach them how to watch film. I mean, all those great attributes that Bobby has. And I also think, look, you get some youth in there. I think it inspires Bobby too, right? I mean, sometimes you need a kick in the pants to say, you know what, I got to play like that also. And so, I think it's going to be a win-win all around. It certainly adds depth for us. And I think it does create some opportunities to, to maybe take Carter that says, all right, Bobby's going to put him under his wing, teach him about finances. Because, look, we already know Bobby is one heck of an agent. He's done a really good job for himself on that. And, I'm in agreement on that one, Dave.
So as far as what they've got to do moving forward, what's the most pressing need now? You've brought in two linebackers, you've brought in two defensive tackles, you've brought in a center, you've brought in a safety, you re-signed Geno and Drew Lock. So as you see it, Paul, biggest need now, most pressing need?
Center. I know they brought in a center, but I look at him as a depth center. I hate to say I don't think they'll sign anybody. I don't think they have a whole lot of money to sign people unless they start reworking contracts and releasing people. I think now you let the draft play out. You're going to be able to find another linebacker. I think you've definitely got to add another linebacker in that room that's young. I just think you have to do that. And I think you got to draft a center or a guard in this draft as well. If you go Carter, there's so many. I mean, there's some pretty good edge rushers and defensive tackles. I mean, you know how I feel about the kid from Pitt. If he was there at 20, I'm salivating at that point because, my goodness, our defensive line would get after quarterbacks. So first one, though, Bob, you got to get a center for the future. And whether that's a guard or center along the way and how you play with that. Then you got to add one more linebacker in there. And now you're just taking best players, right? I mean, we've got five guys in the top 84. I think we'll see what we do if we get six in the top 100 in the draft. I mean, you can address a wide receiver, a running back. A close second to center would be another running back because we're kind of down to one guy right now.
So you're not buying into the Twitter selfies they've been sending out with all these quarterbacks they've seen. And Dave and I were talking about it. It looks like they're having fun with the speculation that comes with those pictures. And Dave thought maybe Pete was having more fun than John might in those situations. But you don't read anything into those pictures that they might actually be interested in a quarterback.
I actually did read into it, which means there's no way they're drafting a quarterback.
You're going opposite.
Well, that's just not what they do, man. They, you know, John was on your show a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, one of the things he doesn't do anymore, really, is reach out to the colleges, right? Or, you know, he doesn't want them to, you know, have a bias and give him something to think about that may not be accurate on the players. So they don't tip their hand often. Now, they're going to show up because they've got – and he's done this again with Mahomes. He did it, obviously, with Josh Allen. He's going to show up for quarterbacks because it's such a valuable position, and if it falls their way, they've got to know something about these players. You never say never. You know, we got the fifth pick, but I'd be surprised if we drafted someone in that fifth spot. Maybe in the 20th, second round. But no, I don't see those Twitters being the way they're looking right now.
By the way, Paul Moyer coming on at the last minute, spur of the moment. Usually it's Thursday that you come on. And so am I right?
Yep, Thursday at 3 o'clock, Dave.
Okay. So in case you haven't seen this, but what about there's this the new thing the NFL is passing as far as instead of – gradually cutting players at the end of camp, they're going to make it, you know, trim down to your roster all on the same date. And, you know, and I was just thinking, like, I can't really see. I think it would be a hassle.
And it's because, after the final preseason game, by the way.
Yeah. After the final preseason, which usually I think they cut, like, what, 8 or 10 guys or something like that. Now it's going to be the whole batch. And so, I don't know. I mean, just as coaches, I feel like there's going to be less reps for the guys that, you know, would normally get, you know, when they start to pare the team down. I think it might be a hassle. I don't really see the benefit. And I'm not sure if you've seen that story, Paul, but I'm wondering, like, from a coach's standpoint, which you have been, what benefit that brings for really either side.
Well, that is a good question. We used to do it way back when, right, David? You didn't, you could bring in as many free agents as you wanted. You had two a day, so you had to have over 100 guys in camp just to get through all the practices. Yeah. And then we did that. You had dates where you released people, and they were big releases, big numbers. And it was tough on the Turk. You know, he's got to go grab all those guys and they got to go up and talk to the coach or the head coach, and everybody gets released. I would think just from an administrative standpoint, what a nightmare that is for the teams. I'm not sure John Schneider and Pete thinks that's a great idea. The other thing is, why would you care? You know, if I got a couple of guys and I'm really deep at a position and there's no trade, particularly available, why would I not release him so he has an opportunity to sign on with somebody earlier? Sometimes they meddle when they don't need to, but I think it's more of an administrative issue, because a lot of these guys, they like to get rid of half the guys, and do it in waves. But other than that, I don't think it matters that much. You usually get down to that point, Davey. I mean, you're looking at not only just backups, but maybe just special team type guys.
All right, Paul, you said the Turk, so explain. I'm trying to remember where that's the guy that has to go around and cut people. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, where,
does he call you to the office or coach wants to see you? That guy?
Us, it was Rusty Tillman. I think Joe Vitt did it as well. And, the Turk, I don't know the actual reasonings for the Turk. I'm sure there's some thing you could Google that.
Some reference. The guy that was
chopping block, and cut somebody's head off or something. And it was, but it's what it felt like. You tried to avoid them. You knew that your career was either over or never got started. And I remember my rookie year, I was a free agent. So, I certainly wasn't a guaranteed spot, even though I pretty much knew I'd made the team, but you don't know. Yeah, I mean, you walk in. I remember Rusty walking in, and they all called him the Turk. That was his job, and he hated it. He had to go to the player, let him know to bring their playbook. Chuck Knox wants to talk with them. They all knew what it was. I think only a few times Rusty actually enjoyed it, if he really hated a kid. But even that was pretty rare. And, so there's a million stories. And in baseball, they used to put like the red tag in their locker, and I think Major League or something, where they were making fun of some of the guys there. So Turk for us was he was the chopping block guy, and that was Rusty Tillman way back in the day.
I always picture the it's like a character drawing with like a black hood and a scythe or something,
a sickle.
Yeah,
that's
well,
death.
Now they text it to him, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
bring your book.
Yeah.
And by the way, your card doesn't work anymore, so you're going to have to ring the bell to get in.
Well, we watch it on Hard Knocks, where they'll have one of the personnel guys call, the player, like, hey, so-and-so, hey, we need you down here. Coach wants to see you. So they're calling them on the phone. They know what it's about. I just like the idea that you avoid icon. You don't want to be seen by them. Like somehow they may change their mind in the meantime, if they haven't found you yet. I'm going to hide. Maybe they'll change their mind.
One of the other things, we used to give these huge playbooks. I mean, they were 8 inches, 10 inches thick, and a big black hard cover. It was just heavy, three ring binder that the binders were about 2 inches thick. There was no way to break these things, but you needed to get that back from them. Today, I believe, if I heard right, they're on either an iPad or a Surface. They can lock them out, right? They immediately can delete that book from you. Wow. And so, if you don't bring the iPad back, we didn't lose our playbook. So the world has changed from when we were there, Dave.
Yes, quite a bit. Rapidly. Now you can download your entire playbook in the Apple Wallet, is what Mike Lefkoe.
Lefkoe will get you straightened out on that.
Moyer, I'm sorry,
Bob. I was just going to ask him if his bracket was
anywhere
near being, reputable, being respectable, being anything you would show anybody at this point. I mean, no number one seeds. You got, two fives, a four, and a nine seed, I believe, is what's left.
That's right.
I will. When Texas lost, I was done. I had Texas, and at our office, I was the only one who had Texas, so I had a chance to win. I do have one of my employees who's winning our bracket. He's in the 99.9 percentile for brackets.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. He had FAU in the Final Four.
What?
Wow. Yes.
Did he go
FAU,
there?
No, but he said he was on vacation with his girlfriend, maybe fiance, and they were in Florida, and their plane got delayed. They had like a six-hour delay, and they said, let's go do something. They decided to go to FAU just to look at the college.
The
and
campus.
Because
yeah.
of that, the camp, and they said because of that, he said, I'm going to put them as one of my Final Four teams. Geez. Who knew?
Yeah. Wow. Does he have other Final Four teams as well?
No, we don't have. Oh, the only person in my whole office that has a Final Four team left to win it all is someone has UConn.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So I'm out. It was fun. It was good. This was a fun year for everybody. And you got to love the upset. And you know, obviously parity. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the days of the number one and two seeds making the Final Four on a consistent basis, those are dead. I mean, you're going to see more 9, 8, 7, 6 seeds making it to the Final Four, especially with the whole NIL. I just read that 1,000 basketball players are in the transfer portal. There's 300 and some teams. That's 3 per team. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
To me, it's ruined it. But at the same time, teams like FAU or whoever it may be, I mean, you can win 5 games 1 year, and the next year you're in the Final Four. And that's kind of what FAU did.
Wow. Paul, yeah. As always, we appreciate it very much. Great stuff. And we will do it again next week.
All right. Go M's. Can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks Paul.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
There you go. Paul Moyer with us every single week. So was he saying he wanted more hard rock music, or like harder rock music, or what was he saying about that music? Because that was rock. That was hard rock, wasn't it?
I was completely confused by that.
I didn't know what it was. Is that what you guys were talking about?
I think because you hyped him up too much that now he wants a new song every week.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well,
we're
gonna take him to a hockey game and whatnot. Maybe that'll calm him down a little bit. The other thing is,
that'll calm him down.
Maybe
settle the guy down.
How about this? We'll change the music and stuff like that if you include me in your Mariners text group this year.
That music's never changing, is what that says.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Because he takes joy in you not being in that.
Yeah, he loves to tell me, like, he's like the Turk. He's kind of like, you didn't make the cut this year.
Yeah, he takes great joy in your desire to be there.
All right,
if you missed anything.
He's missing out. It's his loss.
If you missed anything from Paul Moyer or any of our guests, you just head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, and then click on our picture. And it's right there waiting for you after the show each and every day. Coming up, a lot of NFL news happened at the league meeting. And we'll get into some of the bigger storylines coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to Paul Moyer, who joined us in the previous segment. In case you guys missed that conversation, it will be on the podcast page for you at seattlesports.com after the show. Also, our latest video, the newest video. We do videos every week during Mariner season.
Brent
Stecker.
Well, I know Stecker's there.
Stecker's the man behind the plan. He's the one with the questions. He's coming up with all those questions. So it's all Mariner-centric. If you're a big baseball fan, check it out. I tweeted out the link at Bob Stelton on Twitter or at Wyman and Bob on Twitter. It's on the our YouTube page. So, yeah, every week in the newest one, the first one of the season, is out with some Mariner predictions. So check that out if you're on Twitter or YouTube. Meanwhile, did you see the story about the league wanting to be able to flex the schedule to where a team could potentially have back-to-back Thursday night football games, or they could do it on, you know, very 15-day notice? Did you see that story?
Thanks to you, yes, I did see it.
Yeah, that's another one. We were talking about the cut down and like, all right, I'm trying to get the motivation behind this. Now this, yeah, I understand the motivation. It's money. They want the best matchup on TV they can get when it's, especially on Thursday night, it's the only game. But the idea that they want to flex games into the Thursday night kickoff and be able to do that in back-to-back Thursday night games doesn't seem to be in line with their whole player safety thing.
No, it doesn't. I would think, remember Richard Sherman used to make a huge deal out of that about, and look, I get that it is hypocritical because, yeah, they're, but it just goes to show you that, look, the NFL is, yeah, they're all about safety right up until it clashes with money.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and which is fine with me. I get it. And look, you know, I get that the players don't like it, but I mean, I think it's kind of for the players. It's kind of a grow up moment. I mean, this is why we're doing this
rule, or just Thursdays in general?
The whole thing, you know.
This, just to walk people through it, basically they want to be able to flex teams in and out of that Thursday night game. And they're saying back-to-back Thursday night games, such as Thanksgiving, followed by a Thursday night game the next week, would count only as one short week game. So some teams could wind up playing three Thursday games.
Yeah.
They're complaining about one as it is. And so some teams would play none. While, say, the Chiefs are red hot and everybody loves Patrick Mahomes and we want to put the spotlight on them, Chiefs could have three Thursday night games.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, no, but, I mean, at one point, so on the back end, so the front end of it, it's tight. But then if you're going to another Thursday, then it's a regular week, right?
But then but they're saying that it would count as one short week.
Right.
So they use the Thanksgiving, if you play the Cowboys or Lions, who are always there, they play Thanksgiving Thursday, they play the following Thursday.
Right.
That's a full week, so you're getting your rest. But then they would still be in a position to play another Thursday night game.
Yeah.
So it'd be three.
Somewhere down the road. Yeah. So I mean, look, I guess I think for, you know, I always feel bad for the coaches because they have a lot to get in to get prepared for a game. And so, you know, but I don't know. Does that show up on the field? Is it lesser quality of football? I don't think anybody's ever going to be able to figure that out or say anything. I mean, you have to have a very keen eye to go, oh, this is because of that. The only thing, you know, that once somebody gets hurt because of it, you know, that's when things change, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm like, well, look, this is it's a money making venture and that's what it's all about. So now, Bob, if the NFLPA stepped in now and made a huge stink about it, I would say, good, you're doing your job.
Yeah, now would be the time to pipe
Now's
up.
Now's the time for them because, I mean, geez, they were talking about doing away with the combine and they don't like the draft, and there's all these things that are wildly popular that they don't, you know, they're not for. But this would be one where I would think your union would step in and say, so. And this is where a union is really necessary.
Yeah, to protect.
Yeah, to
your players.
You know, and look, you know, these are guys that are making, I mean, your typical union is protecting people that, you know, are making
blue-collar
wages.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that goes way back, but this is different, but still the safety issue is still very, and I think the NFLPA, I'll say this for them too, that they do get kind of a bad rap because nobody gives a rip about guys. I remember when we went on strike and like the airline union, like the flight attendant union, they came down like to help us and everything, and I felt terrible because I'm like, the guys we were on strike, they're pulling up in Mercedes, you know, and stuff like that. And but this is one time where, you know, maybe the NFLPA needs to flex their muscles a little bit.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. We'll see. And they've tabled it for now, but they're close to the number of votes they need for that, so I'm kind of surprised. But you know, I guess I'm not surprised because it means more money for owners. They're going to make more money. But
well, all you need is for, you know, Patrick Mahomes, like you said, as an example, or, you know, some quarterback.
Yeah, Joe Burrow.
He's worn down.
Yeah, whoever the hot, you know, everybody wants to see this guy play, whoever that is. Let's get them on these primetime games. They could play three games while somebody else will play none. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. And I can't believe we forgot to bring this up to Paul. Brock Purdy.
Oh, darn it.
I have to bring this up to him next week.
Yeah.
But interesting comments from the 49ers, you know, at these meetings. They're talking about, you know, they were talking to John Lynch. They were talking to Coach Shanahan as well. And Shanahan said, I think it would be pretty easy if Brock was healthy because of the way Brock played last year. He'd be the starter going into it. We've always said we don't care where you're drafted. If you were drafted, that's always been our stance. We're still very excited about Trey Lance, but I think the way Brock played, he probably has earned the right to be the guy. So they're saying, and then, you know, they went on to say, I think it's going to be harder for him to win the starting QB job, talking about Trey Lance. He said Brock played 8 games. Trey had that job going into last season, and if he would have played 8 games like that, no one else would have been able to come in and beat him out. But with Brock being hurt, it does open him up. It does give him a chance. So he's saying it's going to be hard for Trey to come in there and win that job. I mean, this is long before you even take, you know, you've got one OTA, much less training camp or preseason games or anything. He's already saying, yeah, it's going to be hard for him to do it. And Brock earned that right, which I'm kind of on both sides of this, Dave. I kind of appreciate that he said, you know what, this guy played really well and he's not going to lose his job to injury. I don't care where he was drafted. I don't care about, you know, what we gave up for Trey Lance. This is the right move. But the other part of it, I'm like, man, you're not even going to open it up to competition, huh? You're not even going to say, well, you know, we'll see how the competition shakes out. Everybody's going to get a crack at it. We're excited about all three guys or whatever the coach would say.
Yeah, I don't see it really from Trey Lance. And maybe that's just they're like, hey, we don't see it either, you know. And Brock Purdy did earn it. But, I mean, I think you still go in there. I think they're being overly like, hey, it's all about a fair battle. We don't care if this guy's picked in the first round at the high end of it and this guy's picked at the end of the seventh round. We're going to have an absolute, you know, fair fight here. And look, right now, from what I've seen, at least operating, like maybe Brock Purdy goes to a different team. If he's in a different offense, whatever, he doesn't look as good. He sure looks good in this offense.
Yeah, he looked really good. So it's interesting that they're kind of squashing the idea right out of the gate this early into it. But we'll see what goes on there. But, yeah, we got to bring that up to Paul and see what he thinks of Coach Shanahan and Lynch and thinks they're crazy or what have you. All right. The Julio hype has officially gone to the next level. We'll talk about what that means for his season coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Tomorrow at this time, we'll be outside the left field gates of T-Mobile Park, Dave.
Dress warmly, Bob.
Dress
you too, Michael.
Michael, what does the weather say for tomorrow?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Comparatively.
What does that mean? Like
low 50s.
Low 50s.
The sun will be out somewhere.
It'll be across the street.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the shade. A little windy in that little corner there, but we'll dress for the occasion. There'll be a lot of people. It's sold out. It's going to be a lot of fun out there. We've got a great guest list forming. We're going to have John Stanton on, the owner, will be with us at 2:30, right?
3 o'clock.
Jerry DePoto, president of baseball operations, will be with us at 2:30. So we'll have Jerry followed by John Stanton. We'll have John Schneider on at 4 o'clock, as we do every single Thursday. And then some players may be rolling by. Nothing confirmed yet. But, yeah, it's going to be a big day out there. So you definitely want to be up. Plus, you can win prizes. You're going to be hanging out, soaking up the atmosphere and excitement of Mariners opening day anyway. And you just show somebody, you know, with our team out there that you've got the Seattle Sports app downloaded on your phone.
Yeah.
And boom, you're in a position to win.
Well, yeah. And then Bob's bringing a T-shirt cannon. He's going to fire
it. Exactly right. I'm going to ride at him.
Just show it. Show us your 710 thing. Boom.
See, yeah, I've got some extra juice in it.
I don't want to talk about Friday yet, though. We're out there Friday, too. Our normal Edgar's.
Yeah.
And the high is like 47.
A little nippy.
Yeah.
We'll be out at Edgar's. Yeah.
You're used to it.
I would rather do that than when it's like 100 degrees out there and the sun's bearing down on you.
Yeah, when you get beat up sitting under that sun real quick.
I was such an idiot rookie. I went down to my parents in Tucson. I sat out by their little pool. It's below ground pool. They're not hillbillies.
I asked Dave if it was above ground pool.
Yeah, my
inflatable.
Mom and dad,
if it's 80, inflatable,
you could build a nice fence around that. There it was above ground.
Oh, sure, I could. Yeah, the 80-year-olds climbing up a ladder to get in their pool. But yeah, I sat outside without any suntan lotion on my legs. So yeah, my legs are really white. Well, now they're red. So that
are
was
they,
a good move.
They a little move. A little sensitive right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I would rather be cold than hot.
That was true playing, right?
Absolutely. Exact opposite of my wife, by the way. But yeah, I would. You can't get any cooler. You can get warmer.
You can bundle up. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, well, both days are going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I think, we obviously are not alone in our anticipation of the season, as evidenced by the line that was out at T-Mobile today to watch whatever the skills skills competition of some sort, right?
It was just fun games. Like pitchers were taking BP and bunting competitions,
right? Okay.
And all sorts of stuff.
And there were a line of people waiting to get in to see that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what?
It's turning into a baseball town, Dave.
Well, and also, you know, like they're right in doing that. This team, we're down there for a whole week. I mean, just player after player after player after coach after GM, whatever. I mean, they're just awesome group of people. What an amazing collection of people. And, you know, we got to meet our guy, Taylor Trammell, and we had him on. And he just, you know, it couldn't have been a better situation and atmosphere. These guys are just fun to be around.
Yeah, yeah. It's, man, it'd be nice if they got win number one on opening night, wouldn't it?
Nice.
Let's set the tone. Let's get Luis out there. Let him dominate. Let's set the tone because Cleveland's a good team. Yeah. I mean, they won 92 games last year. They won their division by 11 games. Some people, Larry Stone, have picked them to win the World Series this year. I haven't seen many others pick them. Maybe there are, but they're expected to be a very good team. Now, they've got an injury issue with the guy that was going to go in game two, Tristan McKenzie. He's down with an injury, so already being hit. And hopefully, I'm knocking on whatever this is made of, Dave.
I think it's particle board underneath, Bob.
Yeah, there's got to be some form of wood around here somewhere. But, yeah, hopefully the Mariners, I don't expect what happened last year in the way of health when it comes to the rotation. But I'm obviously pulling for it. That was a minor miracle, what we saw last year, which was nobody missing a start.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
Well, and we were talking to Matt Underwood, who is the Guardians play-by-play broadcaster, and we were talking about the run game. Just, you know, one stat that kind of – they have five guys that have stole 20 bases last year. Miles Straw
had 19, I think.
Quan had 19, and then Jose Ramirez had 20. Andres Jimenez has had 20, Miles Straw 21. So, yeah, these guys, it's a good team. They're athletic. Yeah, they took a hit with their pitcher with the injuries, but that might come down. That might be the difference. I mean, you look at their infielders. They've got, you know, outfielders as well, but they've got some speed.
They got the manager of the year.
Yeah, but we'll see what their starting rotation looks like.
Yeah, it's I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this series and the season to begin. We got in that routine where you and I'd be talking every day about, man, there's no game tonight. Yeah. When there was an off day, you just get so, at least I do, and I think you did as well, entrenched in that show's over. I'm going to hustle home so I can see, you know, if it's the East Coast start, game's already going. I want to catch what's left of it. The rest is on the DVR, whole thing. But just that it became just the routine. I'm going to hustle home, get the dog out, get in, game on. Let's go. And when that's not there, it's like, what? No game.
Well, yeah, now get what? Back to work.
Now what do I do? Now what do I do? I don't have a yard to toil around in like you do, Dave.
I hate to think what I'm doing is toiling. This doesn't sound good.
By the way, Dave talks about not loving yard work, but takes a lot of pride in it. He flew all the way to Phoenix, yet not so much for spring training, but really to go work in his parents' backyard. That was really the impetus for this whole trip, is so he could do some yard work in Arizona. And your love of you know,
horticulture,
that's
what have you.
Well, we saw the envy every day when the Mariners groundskeepers came out there.
Yeah, I was disappointed you didn't, you know, try to buddy up to one of those guys and let you get out there on that thing and see what you could do.
By the way, I dug up a root ball. Do you remember the beginning of Gladiator where they're fighting? They're in Germania. And remember, they send a guy to negotiate, and the guy comes back and he's holding up a head. And he says something in German, and then he throws the head.
Yeah.
And then Russell Crowe says, "They say no." But anyway, I created that because the root ball looked like hair.
You recreated that.
Yeah, and I was like holding the head up like this root ball. I'll send it to you. Screaming in Germania or in German.
The scary part is Dave's alone. He's just screaming to nobody in particular.
Well, my dad had to take the picture. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll take the picture here.
Go, Dad, opening
scene. This will be cool.
Trust me, there's a reason for this.
Here, you know what? For you listening, I'll put it on my Twitter page. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it won't be on the Twitter. We can put it on the Wyman and Bob one. But yeah, it's just funny to think of your dad going, what in the hell are you doing? Yeah. Dad, I'm telling you, this makes sense. Just take the picture.
Yeah, just take it.
Just take it. All right. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. Make sure you get out there again. John Stanton will be with us. Jerry DePoto will be with us. We'll talk to John Schneider from Gainesville, right? He's going to be out in Florida taking a look at Anthony Richardson and whoever else on that roster is out there working out. So, and then some players coming by. And you all will come by and say hello. It's going to be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, are the Seahawks done in free agency? They've made made a bunch of moves, but are there more to be made? Plus, where does Scott Servais fall amongst the best managers in all of baseball? We'll get into all of that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.